set of scriptures for you, a passage. It's one that has been looked at. I think probably in all honesty, it's one of the most popular phrases or passages that come out of Proverbs. But I think it's appropriate this time of year. Here we are. We are the Sunday before New Year's begins. I know we have our celebrations this week. I'm not necessarily talking about just this week. I'm talking about we're at the head of a new year. And while we in our modern civilizations often think of it as a New Year's Eve celebration, I don't know what you do. We sit home and watch what used to be Dick Clark's. He's no longer around, so I think it's Brian Seacrest. And we watch all of the crazy stuff going on in New York City at Times Square and are thankful we're not there. I mean, that's basically what it boils down to. But there's much more to the New Year's than just the celebrations that we'll watch or participate in this week. In the Jewish customs, the New Year is happening at a different time period. They do it at a different point in the year. So it's not bracketed with another holiday like we have with Christmas. But it is something that was meant always to be a time of evaluation and a time of sort of setting your feet straight going into the new year. It was always meant to be a spiritual moment for the church as well as believers. And so as we've tried to do each time we've kind of come to the head of a new year, I've always tried to encourage you to take pause at this moment, just kind of reflect back. And I think we've heard in both Sam's and David's prayer this morning about thankfulness and all that God has done for us. I think right now is a good moment as we kind of go through these next few days to pause and just reflect on all that God has blessed us with this year, all of the things that He's done, and how thankful we truly are and should be for all of those things, even the bad things. Because sometimes through the bad things, growth happens and opportunities present themselves. And certainly we thank Him for the good things. And so as we kind of think about that, I think part of the question now begins to say, what is it that God's trying to do in my life that didn't get done this last year? And it's not that God was too lazy or God lost motivation with you or any of that. It boils down to the fact that you weren't obedient or willing enough to let Him interact in certain areas. And I think it's almost intended, when I look at the Jewish customs, to be a time, and I'm going to say it, it's this, it's a time of renewal. It should be a time of spiritual renewal. We could sometimes call that spiritual revival, but unfortunately, we sometimes think of revivals as lost people coming to know the Lord. But let's be truthful, that's not what that word means. You can't revive something that's dead. So revive was always meant to be believers, being revived, being renewed. And what better moment than at the beginning of one year and the closing of a previous year to just kind of pause and take stock and start evaluating where God is in your life and what are your struggles. And as you now begin to look at the horizon of the next year, now beginning to look over that horizon and wonder and begin to align yourself with what God wants you to do and what He wants to do in your life this year. Now, I'll mind you, the writer of this Proverbs did not have all of that in his mind when he wrote this. But as we are finding ourselves kind of in that calendar moment, I think we can take the liberty to look at this and now kind of thread it through that viewpoint going into the next year. Now, I've already said Proverbs is one of those books that I think this verse 5 and 6 of chapter 3 is probably one of the most popular, but I think sometimes people don't know how to take Proverbs. Proverbs is a wisdom book. Let's get that out of the way. What does that mean? It's basically a modern poetry book, but it was written to celebrate the work of God in someone's life and what that looks like. And so I look at Proverbs oftentimes as a book full of wisdom sayings. Really, that's what it is. And when you look at chapters 1 through 9, which is where we are this morning in chapter 3, what we find is this is a dad, it's a father, that is writing 9 chapters, it seems, of wise advice and sayings to his son. That's why pretty much all of the statements begin with "my son." And we'll see that a little bit this morning. So what does it mean? Well, this almost becomes a parenting manual, if you will, these first 9 chapters. I want you to think of it as God speaking these things into your life, which is essentially what happens when we read this from the standpoint that we are today. Let's pray, and then we'll jump right into reading these two verses, not a lot here, and then we're going to break away, and we're going to come back and drill in and look at all two of these verses, all two, did you get that? And now begin to kind of develop three things that we need to do that we can derive from these two verses to trust God more fully as we come in to this new year. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for, again, just the opportunity, the privilege we have to spend time in worship. The sweetness of that, the authenticity of that, just to spend a moment being able to celebrate just your presence in our life and all that you do. And as we now kind of move and transition to a time of diving deeply into your word and now beginning to kind of unpack it, I pray that we would take that same kind of intention of celebration and thankfulness and now begin to be used by you, the Holy Spirit, in our lives to begin to help us to evaluate, to see, are we truly where we need to be with the Lord? Are there areas that you've been speaking to want to change and we've been reluctant to that? Maybe there's struggles and strains and anxieties that we're holding on to, but we're not freely giving those over to you. And so those now become almost a weight that bears us down, and we're unable to truly be what you want us to be because we're not letting you take charge of all of those things that we're struggling with. It's almost like weighted suitcases we keep trying to pick up and carry everywhere we go. So God, help us this morning to put all of those things aside and as believers to allow your Holy Spirit to just now begin to seep into the inner core of our souls and to speak that truth into us. Help us. I think all of us come here for a reason. And God, I pray that we would listen to what you're telling us this morning. Now for the lost person who may be here or watching this on our live stream, I want to encourage them to understand that as we talk about trust to the degree of a believer trusting in God for something, for the non-believer, that trust really begins with trusting what Jesus did on the cross. And that what he did on the cross provides an opportunity, a way, a path for us now to have salvation, a relationship with you, to be forgiven of our sin, to be made new, to be put on a path that's very different from the worldly path, to begin to find meaning and purpose in our life. But all that begins at that moment where we choose to trust what Jesus did is enough, it's truth, and it's for me. And so I pray for that lost person this morning as we celebrate this passage and think about the new year, that what they're thinking about is where they stand with you and their desperate need for salvation. Now, God has always blessed the reading of your word. Guide us as we walk our way through this. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. We start in verse 5, and it begins with the word trust. That's why we're going to center everything today around the idea of trust. How can we trust God more fully? So it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. By the way, that's a command. God's not making that optional. He's not saying that if you will trust or if you feel like trusting, trust. It is a direct command that God is giving by way of this writer to his son, right? That he now spreads to us. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Now, we're going to come back and unpack just simply what that means. Because I think what we sometimes think is that's an emotional trust. It's not. It's a trust on a much deeper level than what we sometimes think of as emotions. Because we use heart sometimes in our world today interchangeably with the idea of emotions. So don't let that just sort of rest at the surface. It goes much deeper, and that's what we'll attempt to try to uncover and guide through. Next, it goes on. So it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Now, when I read that, what that means is what God is telling us is that we get in the way of what God wants to do sometimes. We get in the way of what we sometimes will call absolute trust, complete trust. Because we begin to think about logic things and illogical things and things that now begin to be distractions. And it's almost as if we begin to look at the alternatives and anxiety and worry and other things begin to seep in, and it robs us truly of the ability to trust God. Now, mind you, don't forget this. It's not that God's gone anywhere. It's not that we're not holy enough or that God's decided he just doesn't like you today. It all comes back to us not being in a position to truly trust him. And I would even go a step further and say, we sometimes don't really know how to trust him. And that's what we pray for on a day like today, as we move into a new year. How, God, can I trust you truly with the things that I don't think I can trust you with the things that are sensitive, the things that I struggle with, the secrets in my life, the things that I try to cover up and hide? How do I truly trust you with those things? Well, he goes on then in verse 6, which almost becomes in some sense a re-emphasis of the statements made in verse 5. He says this, seek his will in all you do. Now that's the obedient statement. We all know that. We know the importance of that. And as we think about being obedient, that's not what we think obedience means. It's not what a pastor says obedience means. It means what God is directing us to do. And sometimes those around us may be confused by that and not understand that, but we're seeking to be obedient to God and no one else. Now in that, we now begin to find we fit in certain places, church and things like that. We'll get into that more in a moment. Then last statement, we'll jump into our points. So he says, verse 6, seek his will in all you do. And then I love this promise. As I've said before, God gives us somewhere between 4 and 8,000 promises in Scripture. To me, this is one of the most important, most vital ones he gives us. It's not the only place he states it. He states it other places as well. But look what he says, and he will show you which path to take. So what does that mean? Well, we'll unpack this, but let's just give you sort of the 30,000-foot viewpoint or what we might call the Spark Notes or Cliff Notes version of this. If we truly trust God, we seek then to set aside our own distractions. That's the understanding part. We set those aside, put God in the place of priority, and then we remain obedient, that is taking the steps as God gives them to us, right? Then God will always be faithful to point us into the right direction. Listen, I don't know about you, but that's pretty easy to understand when you begin to kind of lay it out like that. So let's drill down deeper, and there's three things that I think we need to be aware of as we seek to trust him more as we move into this new year. Number one, you'll see it on the screen, is this. We got to get this one out of the way. So when it says here, trust in the Lord with all your heart, I've inserted the word completely here. So again, it's kind of redundant, but I think it's important we start with this one. We've got to trust God completely, not partially, not halfway. Think of it this way. We're not putting one foot in the doorway and the other foot out, which some of us do, sometimes even myself. When we say we trust God completely, that means we're flinging the door open in that metaphor, and we're stepping through the threshold, and both feet in, we're all into what God wants us to do. That's learning to trust him completely. The problem that happens, and it goes back to the next statement where it says, don't depend on your own understanding. Because here's what inevitably happens. I do this, and many of you do too. When God opens a door, we might put one foot in, we may stick a finger in, we may even put our nose in that doorway, but we always want a safety sort of backup plan, don't we? And sometimes God doesn't want that. In fact, sometimes, more often than not, God wants absolute obedience. That means trusting him completely, walking through whatever that door is completely. Doesn't mean you got to understand all of it. Doesn't mean those around you need to approve of it. Doesn't mean that it has to make logical sense. It just means that you're being obedient to take whatever that next step is, and then God will begin to open those doors even further and allow you to see what's going on. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I see life, my life, like a hallway full of doors. And those doors are often locked, and I try to open them, and God's not ready for me to open them. Sometimes they are open, and they're dark, and what I see in there, I can't see much. But yet God is telling me to go into those places, and so I choose to go into that. And then sometimes God takes me out of that door and puts me on that hallway to go somewhere else. That, to me, sums up my life. And the problem that I have is I often am hesitant. Because at my age, logic begins to step in. Experience begins to interfere. And there are times that God is clearly, I mean, if he could, there would be a blinking light above that door saying, go in here, don't go anywhere else. And I'm the one that's going to stand there and evaluate. And I'm going to look, and I'm going to smell, I'm going to kind of test it, I'm going to think. And all the while, I am not being obedient to what God wants me to do. Listen, throughout Scripture, God rarely ever gives the full scope of what he's wanting to do in someone when he asks them to step forward. It's usually incremental. It's usually blind trust. That's another way to put it. It's usually one step at a time, and then when you take three steps, it begins to open up, and now you begin to see a little more clearly. But never in my life has God given me the long view. It's always been partial views. And I think he does that because if I saw the long view, I would either jump out and run, or I would start being focused on that. And listen to this, not the process that God is putting me through to get me ready for whatever's at the end of that room. See, that's the other thing. We get impatient sometimes. We want to jump to the end and not go through the process of what God is trying to grow and change us and develop us to be and be a part of and the kind of tool he wants us to be because we're not being patient enough. And listen, I think this is important. It's not always the destination that's important. It's the journey that God has us on to get us ready for that destination. I think that works not just for us as individuals, but it also works for us as a church. That God is constantly growing and preparing us, and he's changing us and giving us what we need at this moment so that we can be what God wants us to be as a church as we now begin to see how he's using us and the next uncharted ground, so to say. So the first thing we got to do is trust completely. Number two, you'll see this one on the screen as well. And this is the obedience factor. We've already kind of covered it. And you already know this, but if we're going to trust completely, then number two, we got to submit entirely. So when we begin to see this, seek his will in all you do, listen, that means we got to submit entirely. I've already said, not one foot out and one foot in, not your face in the doorway, but your whole self, being obedient and willing to step forward, submitting entirely. And then as God begins to uncover what it is he's doing through that doorway, we now become more aware, but God is equipping us in that process. Now, I don't think ever in Scripture we find God calling somebody to do something, whether it be in our eyes great or mundane or small. It doesn't matter. In God's eyes, it's the same. It's big. It's important because it's about what he wants to do. But whenever he does that, there's always a process of equipping. Whether we realize it or not, God always gives us what we need when we find ourselves in a place that he wants us to be used. I mean, he's never going to put us someplace and then say, yep, nope, I'm going to tie one foot to the other foot and one hand behind your back and have you do the job that I want you to do. He is always going to prepare you, give you everything that you need in order to be successful in his eyes. The problem is we're often not patient enough. We're often not willing to let God equip us and do the things that he's trying to do to be able to use us. We don't submit entirely. We give some, but we don't give all. We struggle with this, but we don't struggle with that. We hold on to this and give God what we feel like we can, but then we hold the other things back. Listen, I think that's part of the problem in the modern church today. Is that we don't understand, and here's another word this morning that I think is important. We don't understand the sacrifice of our faith walk. We often make it about comfort and convenience and not about what God is calling us to truly sacrifice. I don't mean that we're giving something up, but what I mean is learning to just give those things over to him. And as God begins to change us, he changes our desires for those things. And whatever those things may be, he may let us keep them, he may not. It doesn't matter. It's about being able to sacrifice to the point. Nowhere in Scripture does God promise that our faith walk is easy and it's never going to encompass difficulties and struggles. And I think sometimes when we accept Christ, it's almost like a sales pitch that we got. Listen, if you'll just come over to this side, all your worries and struggles go away. You don't have any problems. Everything is good, and you never have bad. That's not true, right? We all know that. The truth of the matter is life often gets more difficult when we accept Christ. Now, we don't like to talk about that a lot when we're talking with a lost person, but the truth is the faith walk is a very different walk than the lost person's walk, where they can get away with things and do things and never think about it. But for us as believers, it's a constant process of trying to remain in the center of God's will. It's conviction. It's about longing for God more. And it's the ups and downs. It's the spiritual warfare that goes on, the attacks, the things that are always there to try to disrupt us. And it's always the old life competing then with the new life and vice versa. And trying to figure out just what God is doing. Listen, it's not easy. It's never meant to be. But yet what God has called us to do is to a higher walk than what we used to have as a lost person. And with that, it costs something. It requires sacrifice. It requires work. And sometimes we're not willing to do that, and that's why we're not submitting entirely. Number three is this. So we've said if we're going to trust God in this new year, we got to trust Him completely. We got to submit entirely. That's from the first part of verse 6. And then the last part is walk in confidence. Now that's not really something that we're trusting God with, but it is in some ways, just stick with me, in that we're learning to be confident in God's promise. As I've said, I think this is one of the most important promises that we see God state. He does it in other places as well, both New Testament and Old Testament. It's not a rare promise. It's a promise that God has given in many different ways, but it's the same focus. And that is, He will guide us when we remain truthful to Him, when we remain focused to Him. He will never leave us nor forsake us, right? We've heard that version of it. There are lots of different ways to look at it, but the truth of the matter is, God is not going to abandon us when we learn to trust Him. And when we give Him what God has provided, we now begin to choose to walk, but we walk confidently. And I think if it's not the trust issue that we struggle with, then it's the confidence issue, because we're always seemingly doubting ourselves and looking at the decisions that have to be made and what this is happening. And it all boils down to the fact that we're not willing to trust God in everything and at every moment. We trust Him at times, but then the enemy begins to attack us, and now we begin to not have that trust or that confidence that God is there. Listen, I challenge you to find any place in Scripture that God has abandoned somebody that He's called or put in some place. He's never done that. I mean, He's always there. Now, there are times in the Old Testament where we'll see God bringing judgment, but He does that through His love. It's not abandonment. It's His love now dictating justice, and that now causes a change. And then always God's love is threaded through that, and in your life as well. Now, I've been at this a few years, and I can never find a moment where God told me to step out and trust Him with something, and then He abandoned me. Now, there are times where I might have closed my eyes or turned my back on Him, but He never went anywhere. The truth of the matter is, God stays, and we've got to be confident in that and trust that and allow Him to be present in His guidance. And another thing I'll say as we close, when we talk about trust, this is not a Sunday morning decision, one and done type thing. I mean, it's really not. I think what Jesus says, take up our cross daily, that's kind of reorienting. I mean, I know what Jesus means by that, but it includes learning to trust Him for what's happening today and what He's trying to do, and trust Him for your fears and anxieties. Trust Him in that day and allow you to reorient and choose to be a tool and an instrument for Him that day. I mean, there are a lot of things that go into that, but Jesus speaks that as kind of a banner for us to carry every single day, and that we are reorienting our commitment to Him every day. So this trust and done type thing is a daily thing. And sometimes, to be honest with you, for some of us, it's multiple times throughout the day. Whereas things come about, we now say, I'm going to trust You with that, God. I don't know how that's going to work out, but I'm going to trust You with that. And learning to do that. I don't know how you say that. I know some who will say, and I know this song, Jesus take the wheel, whatever works for you. But learning to trust Him and give Him over whatever it is that now becomes that interruption. And now being able to have that confidence. Doing that every day. Asking God to give you that peace and that understanding that allows you to be the tool and instrument. So as we close 2025, move into 2026, we need to reevaluate. We need to think about ourselves as a church. We need to think about ourselves as church members, as believers. And where are those things that God has worked and is continuing to work? Where is He wanting us to work this next year? What's on the horizon for Concord Baptist Church as we move into 2026? And how does that involve you? I mean, we don't have those answers right now. But what we do have is the opportunity to pray as we move through that. And praying for our church, praying for ourselves. Praying that we be the church that God wants us to be, but the only way that we can do that is when we're the believers that God wants us to be. Every single day. Trusting Him completely with everything. Submitting entirely. and then learning to walk in confidence. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the blessing of your word and what was written some 4,000 years ago, and I think how still relevant it is today, I know at least for me. And the truths that are spoken here, but also the promises. You know, this is one of those verse sets that you could write down, put on your mirror, put it on a sticky note, put it on the lock screen of your phone, just as a reminder of all that you have promised to do and all that we have an opportunity to do through you. Now, God, I pray for whatever decisions need to be made this morning, and it may just be that it is what we've said, just kind of a gut check. It's kind of a reevaluation. Some may feel led to come to the altar and pray through some things. And just because they come doesn't mean that they themselves are struggling with something. Maybe they're praying for one of us and something they see in our lives or something they want to speak to into our lives. Whatever that brings, Father, we want to open the altar as we always do to allow you to work in people's lives. And this stage, this altar symbolizes just your presence and laying things down before you. Now, there may be some here, as we've said, who have never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I can't imagine a better moment than as we close Christmas season, begin New Year's and a new year, to get that decision finally right. I mean, it'd be easy to remember what day you got saved because it would be at the end of one year and the beginning of the next. But Lord, I pray your spirit would move and work, whether that person be here and they come down and share that with me, or whether they be home watching this live stream or listening to this on our podcast sometime this week. We want to encourage them to reach out to us or somebody that they know is a believer and share with them that they're ready to accept Christ. It's the most important decision we can ever make. Now, God, we give this time of commitment to you, whether we come forward to do it or whether we just stay in our pews to do it. Whatever it is, it's our time to respond to you. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?